Well, thanks for being here today. Thanks for being here for worship today. Did you happen to enjoy that song worship opportunity? Yeah. Yeah. Very nice. In your bulletin, you've got a little purple piece of paper. You can write a little note on this card if you wouldn't mind. As you know, Carrie, this is her last Sunday in leading out in music. And so we let you know that about 4 weeks ago. And so we want a note, if you should have something on your heart, to just a thanksgiving, a note of encouragement. The way that God uses Carrie to bless us and has used Carrie, I think, for 20 years. 20 years. So if you would fill this out and just jot down a note. I know we want to do something a little more formal for 20 years of service, and now is not the right time to do it. But we'll have this going forward. Turn this in the offering upon your exit, if you wouldn't mind. If the Lord leads you to write something down in terms of thanksgiving for service and for the many years of blessing New Hope and people. Jesus, we thank you for opportunities to express thanksgiving for service done well. For service that was heartfelt. For service that reached into the depths of your spirit, your Holy Spirit, and moved in ministry to encourage literally thousands upon thousands upon thousands of people. Help this, Lord, to be the beginning of just a celebration for Carrie and for Gary and their family. And thank you for blessing them and seeing such great optimism and healing taking place with Evie. Lord, open our hearts and our minds. For today we get to experience communion with you, Lord. And that's a grandiose time, Lord. Lord, help us to remember your sacrifice, your shed blood, your new covenant, so that we could find a relationship with you under a great umbrella of grace and mercy. Oh, how we need it. Oh, how we appreciate it. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you for giving us breath today and the opportunity to worship in spirit and in truth, because, Jesus, you came full of grace and truth in John 1:14. Open our minds and hearts in your precious name. Amen. I always get nervous before I show you a cartoon. You never know when it's going to be a hit or when you have to like burn it forever to never come back to the archives. Only you can prevent forest choirs. You see, they're up on the branch. Okay. Not bad. I didn't have to initiate any kind of laughter on that one. You did that on your own. So that actually measures up on the meter pretty well. I looked and the Ten Commandments don't say anything about running with scissors. So that's... What's that?
Future lawyer.
Yes. Well said. That's good. Hey, so you see where you are here. Kind of a review from last week a little bit. Waiting for the rapture of the church we are. Judgment seat of Christ. Call that the Bema seat. Once we get taken up, taken out. Marriage supper of the Lamb. Come back down. For the return of Christ. Talked about that last week. Armageddon. And the millennial kingdom. Today is final judgment and eternity. There's a final judgment and eternity. It's weird because you and I have friends who are not born again. And we know that from John 14:6, Jesus says, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. We know that there's one way to God, and that's one way to the Father, and that's through Jesus, his Son. And so we have friends who just don't accept Jesus as Lord. We have family members who don't accept Jesus as Lord. And so we know that they're going to find an appointment with final judgment. It's really quite sad because we'll talk about that more. But if we have a friend right now who, Lord forbid, gets into a car crash and dies, and we know this person didn't know Jesus as Lord and Savior, we know that their soul would go to a place called Hades. Not final judgment yet. It's a place where they know they're separated from God. And they know they're going to be eternally separated. But they're awaiting final judgment. We've got family and neighbors right now who we just sometimes don't seem to have much time for, knowing that their plight is really not an optimistic one. So we have to just think, and Lord, help us to reflect today. Help us to see what you're doing in our midst. That we would be forever changed because of your word. That we would know the truth, your truth, and it would set us free from the bondages of this world. Oh, help us to leave with our head up, knowing that our best days are ahead in you, not in the world. For in your precious name we pray. Jesus, amen. Hey, if you have your Bible, if you have your phone, Revelation 20, 11 through 15. Going to look at the first couple verses here. We're looking at something called final judgment. And a resurrecting of people who have not received Jesus as Lord and Savior to stand and to be sentenced. Whoa! Then I saw a great white throne and him who sat on it, from whose face the earth and the heaven fled away. So, earth and heaven. What we can think of is heaven and earth now going away. Replaced with new heaven and earth. And that's pretty amazing as we get more details and pictures of that. And there was found no place for them. And I saw the dead, small and great, standing before God, and books were opened. And another book was opened, which is the book of life. And the dead were judged according to their works by the things which were written in the books. These people who are being raised are the people that we knew were lost, but we never had a passion or a conviction to go talk with them. These are people that are going to stand before the judge, Christ, and be cast into the lake of fire. And so it's like another book was opened, the book of life. Were their names in the book of life, yes or no? No. The other books, theologians surmise, were books that have our works in them. All of our good works. All the things that we do and we barter with the Lord. And all of the things that, well, at the end of the day, would cause someone to come up short of trusting Jesus, having faith in Jesus for life, for eternal life, that is. Let's go on here. The sea gave up the dead who were in it. You know, the sea? The sea is associated with evil. Like evil. So we're going to see a picture in heaven. And no sea. And let's go on. The sea gave up the dead who were in it. Oh my. That would be a lot of dead and lost people. Think about the flood. Think about all those in war and peril that lost without Christ who died in the sea. I mean, think about that. The sea gave up the dead who were in it, and death and Hades delivered up the dead who were in them. And they were judged each according to his works. Then death and Hades were cast into the lake of fire. This is the second death. So now we're getting into second death. First death, somebody who doesn't know Jesus, they die. Soul goes to Hades. Okay, lost. Second death, lake of fire. Sentenced to the lake of fire. Now, this is going to get even more interesting. Anyone not found written in the book of life was cast into the lake of fire. Let's take this lake of fire thing just and go a step further. Let's call it Gehenna. Let's call it hell. Hell. A physical place. It's real. It's separation. It's painful. Answer this question for me along those lines, please. Are there degrees of punishment in hell? Yes, no, yes, no. I'm going to surmise and argue for yes, and I'll tell you why. It's like, what? How about the really good person? There's no good people apart from Christ. How about the really good person that... There's no good people apart from Christ. The righteousness, their so-called righteousness, are as filthy rags. There's no proper motivation for it. Not at all. But there does seem to be levels of punishment. Let's check it out. Matthew 11, 22. Jesus, to unrepentant cities, he says, but I tell you, it will be more bearable on the day of judgment for Tyre and Sidon than for you. Let's us know that there's some degree of variation and that some will have it worse than others. Let's go on. Luke 12, 47 and 48. This is a great parable. Be good stewards in your master's absence. Oh, perfect parable. The servant who knows the master's will and does not get ready or does not do what the master wants will be beaten with many blows. But the one who does not know and does things deserving punishment will be beaten with few blows. From everyone who has been given much, much will be demanded. And from the one who has been entrusted with much, much more will be asked. So we're getting the idea of a difference in hurt, in infliction, and torment from these two verses. There's more. Luke 20, 46 and 47, be aware of the scribes, kind of like the Pharisees, very much legalists, who like to walk around in long robes and love greetings in the marketplaces and the best seats in the synagogues and places of honor at feasts, who devour widows' houses and for a pretense make long prayers, they will receive the greater condemnation. There's a couple more, but that's enough time, and you can email me if you want to get more verses on this that seems to be a proof text for that concept, for that thought. Do Christians often talk about living with God in heaven forever? Do you hear people doing that? Yeah, me too. Here's the problem. However, none of us want to die to get there. We don't. Scared to death sometimes to die. And we'll do everything we can so we don't die because of fear. Perfect love, Jesus, casteth out fear, but easier said than done. So let's go into new heaven, new earth. Let's go into after the millennial kingdom, 1,000-year millennial reign from Jesus, on earth in Jerusalem, great time. Let's go on. Revelation 21, new heaven and new earth. Very cool. If you go down in Revelation 21, you actually see a physical dimension of heaven. Heaven come down, and it's cubed. It's 1,400 miles wide. It's 1,400 miles long. It's 1,400 miles high. That's going to be new heaven, new earth, after the 1,000-year millennial reign. And it's quite impressive. It's a physical place, just like hell is. It's a physical place. Look at this. 12 gates. You're going to see streets of gold. You're going to see some other things. As we go through a couple characteristics of new heaven, new earth, let me read you something along with this. It's to prepare our minds for the greatest time in our life. Millennial kingdom, new heaven, new earth. Our best days are ahead. To try to convince you and myself to live like that, that's another sermon. That's another 300 sermons. Because we're challenged. We're challenged right now in our flesh in the struggle. I printed something out from Joni Erickson Tada, along with, some of you will like this, along with Randy Alcorn. He's done a lot of studying on heaven. Who's Joni Erickson Tada? Anybody know? Go ahead. Teenager, diving accident, broke her neck. Served the Lord all these years, but was angry. Has a radio show in a wheelchair. Paints beautiful pictures with her mouth. Because she can't use her hands. Great Christian. Here's what she writes. Thanks, Camille. I couldn't have come up with that in 4 hours like that. From her book, Heaven, Your Real Home, she says, when a Christian realizes his citizenship or his or her citizenship is in heaven, they begin acting as a responsible citizen of earth. He or she invests wisely in relationships because he or she knows they're eternal. Their conversations, goals, and motives become pure and honest because he or she realizes these will have a bearing on everlasting reward. Does that describe your and my life right now in relationships with people? If it doesn't, if we're really self-centered, work-centered, and it's not about getting together with people, maybe we're just a little heavily worldly influence still, which the Lord says will bite us. we'll play into the devil's hand and it'll sting us. And so we want to be kind of careful of that. Look at this. Brown Book, we're up to 62 people that have gone through one-on-one Brown Book training, trying to get to 100 by the end of November, or I think it's the end of December, one of those two. But Gary, we're almost done with our jaunt through the 7 weeks. We got one more week, and I know some others are just getting started, but is this like gone by the wayside? Yeah, we were on this for a while, and now we're not. Now we're talking about end times. It all works together. It all works together. We've got more books. Live for the relationship, the eternal purpose. I've got more books for you. Take somebody through it. Be kingdom-minded. Oh, in this world, we'll have trouble. Oh, we experience it all day long sometimes. But take heart, Jesus has overcome the world. Corey says, he or she gives generously of time, of money and talent, because we know what's coming. And we align ourselves with the new DNA. 1 Corinthians 5:17, the new DNA, the new creation that God has made us. We're aligning up with that. Sorry, my voice is going quickly. She or he gives generously of time, money, and talent because he or she is laying up treasure for eternity. They spread the good news of Christ because they long to fill heaven's ranks with his friends and neighbors. All this serves the pilgrim well, not only in heaven, but on earth, for it serves everyone around him and her. Wow. I guess if we're going into our best days in Christ and millennial kingdom in heaven, new earth, let's get aligned. Let's get on the same page, have the same DNA, so to speak, that we're ready and that we're receiving a little heaven on earth, not trying to get as much as the world we can. Get the best of both worlds. I want to ride the fence. No, because there'll be pain. I'm asking for more and more pain. We don't want to do that. Oh. Revelation 21, here we go. Then I saw a new heaven and a new earth, for the first heaven and the first earth had passed away, and the sea was no more. Why is the sea no more? It's evil. It's associated with evil. For the first heaven and the first earth had passed away, and the sea was no more. And I heard a loud voice from the throne saying, behold, the dwelling place of God is with man. He will dwell with them, and they will be his people, and God himself will be with them as their God. Oh, get ready for excitement. You say, Don, I can't get ready for excitement. I'm not excited. I'm not even really excited about being here at church. I'm just kind of going through the motions. Then take a book and take another one and find somebody and work through the chapters with them and find an abundant type of living that maybe you've never experienced. I mean, there's a solution, and it's in Christ. And there's so much to live for. Look at this question. What is heaven? Talk to somebody around you. What is heaven? Talk to somebody around you. What is heaven? From a great theologian said this, and I use this quote here. The greatest manifestation of God's presence to bless is seen in heaven, where he makes his glory known, and where angels, other heavenly creatures, and redeemed saints all worship him. So we're going to maximize our time with God in heaven. We're gonna have our eyes open unlike any other time. It's our best days. And we can start getting ready now. We can start blessing God now as he blesses us with new mercies daily. Oh, we can start aligning ourselves with the expectation that doesn't bring us culture shock when we walk into church. No, we're aligned, Lord, and it's beautiful. Verse 4, Revelation 21, give your phone. He will wipe away every tear from your eyes, and death shall be no more. Glorified state. Remember, we got that at the resurrection when we were caught up in the air. When Jesus came back for us and took us out. He will wipe every tear from their eye, and death shall be no more. Neither shall be mourning, nor crying, nor pain anymore, for the former things have passed away. And he who was seated on the throne said, behold, I am making all things new. Also he said, write this down, for these words are trustworthy and true. And he said to me, it is done. I am the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end. To the thirsty I will give from the spring of water of life without payment. The one who conquers will have this heritage, or will have this heritage, and I will be his God, and he will be my son. But as for the cowardly, the faithless, the detestable, as for murderers, the sexually immoral, sorcerers, idolaters, and all liars, their portion will be in the lake that burns with fire and sulfur, which is the second death. And so when you see these kinds of demonstrations, this is what somebody who doesn't know Christ as Lord and Savior, faithless, detestable, murderers, sexually immoral, sorcerers, idolaters, all liars. You just have to look at 1 John 3:6, 1 John 3:9, and it verifies people that habitually live in this darkness don't have the love of the Father in them. That means they're not born again. And so we get it right here in Revelation. Then came one of the seven angels who had seven bowls full of the seven last plagues and spoke to me saying, come, I will show you the bride, the wife of the Lamb. We've already had the supper and we get taken up and taken away. And it's so powerful. I will show you the bride, the wife of the Lamb. And he carried me away in the spirit to a great high mountain and showed me the holy city, Jerusalem, coming down out of heaven from God, having the glory of God, its radiance like a most rare jewel, like a jasper, like a crystal. It had a great high wall with 12 gates, and at the gates, 12 angels, and on the gates, the names of the 12 tribes of the sons of Israel were inscribed. Wow. It just gets better. Yes or no, music and artistic activities, creations in heaven to music and artistic activities that glorify God. Do you think that will take place in heaven? God loves to create. Absolutely, we could deduce that. In the beginning, God created. He loves to create. He loves art. Okay. He loves music. Do we think we may go on learning more about God and about his relationship to his creation in eternity? I'm going to say yes, too. I only have a couple proof texts, but it says, according to Colossians 1:10, bless you, we are fully pleasing to him, it says, as one that includes continually increasing in the knowledge of him. And so we see tribulation saints who have died in the presence of Christ, and we see them demonstrating knowledge, having knowledge of their life on earth. We're going to have knowledge before standing before Christ as Christians at the Bema seat. So I'm going to say yes. This would make a lot of sense. That's why what you're studying now in God's Word and practicing in discipleship, that's why it doesn't come back void. That's why you can go through this and go, I know a lot more about my Savior, and you'll take that to heaven with you. You'll take that to the millennial kingdom with you. This is only an advantage. This is only something that's going to be extremely positive. Extremely positive. And then finally, I shall fully know, even as I also am fully known. Wow. 1 Corinthians 13:12. I shall fully know, even as I also am fully known. You will be known. The people that will know you well, you will know well. You will recognize. We look to build relationships so well, so tight on this earth, and it's something we'll take with us and something we'll build upon in heaven. at least is the thought and the idea. Powerful. Last but not least, the wall was made of jasper, city of pure gold, as pure as glass. The foundations of the city walls were decorated with every kind of precious stone. The 12 gates were 12 pearls, each gate made of a single pearl. The great street of the city was of gold, as pure as transparent glass. Now, my human, my flesh side right now would just love to think about if I could get a chisel, if I could get a hammer and like a miner's helmet, I would like to go out at night when everybody's sleeping and chisel off a little bit of gold, you know, to have my little personal stash. What would I do with it? See, this is where we're going. My mind's going to be transformed, and I'm not going to think in the way of the world. I'm not going to have that problem. But right now, I'd have the temptation. But we're going to be as he is. We're going to be like him. So and here's the thing. We're not going to be mourning about people who are not in heaven. No more tears. We're not going to have that emotional state where we're going to be devastated. No, go to dinner. Our neighbor's not here. It's not going to be that way. It's going to be amazing. It's going to bring glory to God. And it's going to be utterly amazing. Let's pray. Jesus, thank you. Jesus, thank you for giving us hope. Jesus, thank you for giving us challenges that require us to think first about levels of punishment for people that we're okay leaving alone who don't know you. Convict our heart to have a heart for people. And as Joni Erickson Tada wrote, when a Christian realizes their citizenship, when they realize it's in heaven, they begin acting as a responsible citizen of earth. They invest wisely in relationships because they know they're eternal. Their conversations, their goals and motives become pure and honest because they realize these will have a bearing on everlasting reward. They give generously of time, of money, of talent because they know they're laying up treasures for eternity. They spread the good news of Christ because they long to fill heaven's ranks with his friends, or with their friends and neighbors. All this serves the pilgrim well, not only in heaven, but on earth, for it serves everyone around them. So Jesus, is there anyone here that would like to align more with heaven and relationships and being concerned about eternal things? Is there anyone here? Would you slip up your hand? Okay, 1, 2, 3. Yeah, nice, good. Thank you for that. Thank you for that. Hands down. Is there anybody here that does not have a relationship with Jesus? That knows if they were taken out of the world today, they wouldn't spend eternity with Jesus because you've never invited him into your life as Lord. Would you raise your hand if you've never done that and you need to do that? Okay, so we're talking to people who know Christ, Jesus, who know you. And there are people who are willing to step out. Lord, right now, just deal with the people's hearts. who said, who slipped up their hand to say, I'm ready. I'm ready for change. And let that take place right in the midst of their heart. Help them to leave already conscientious and heartfelt about next steps of what needs to happen to love their neighbor, to love a friend, to love a family member, to be concerned about somebody maybe they haven't in the past. Oh, Lord Jesus, that change takes place today, we pray.